Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, I want to take a look at something else. I want to take a look at Nice Core. Are you ready for this? Because after the last 2 years, it's no surprise that people are seeking out lightness and optimism in the shows and movies that they watch. A recent article by Charles Bramesco, published in The Guardian, highlighted that Nice Core films and TV are proving very popular at the moment. So joining us to explain what Nice Core is and to give us examples of what we can check out for the trend is Deirdre Malumbi. Deirdre, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm doing very well. How's yourself, Dave?
Myself is very good. Just as a matter of interest, I mean, I can even, like, as a wild guess, I think anybody could guess what Nice Core actually means, but you're going to tell me anyway. But just obviously the examples are really what it's all about. But I want to know, is there actually a history around the Nice Core, can I call it, movement? Is it a movement?
I don't know. I suppose you could consider it a kind of movement in terms of what, like, films and TV are going for at the moment. Like you said yourself, Dave, the last couple of years have been kind of a very, you know, dark period. We're getting over the trauma that was the pandemic. There's the war raging on in Ukraine at the moment. But Nice Core as a term actually first came about in the summer of 2018. It was published in IndieWire by David Ehrlich, and he basically talked about how comedies are becoming more and more optimistic, how they're prioritizing, you know, values like empathy, understanding, standing and community, and they're all about being warm and positive and reassuring in this very, you know, crazy and unpredictable world. Typically in a Nice Core film or TV program, you have a protagonist who's interacting with other characters in the story, and he just or she has this really aggressively almost optimistic view on the world, and they end up kind of gradually winning over the characters around them and convince them to be the same, to just be nice and to be nice no matter what, because you never know what someone is going through. So it really kind of emphasizes these really kind of maybe slightly idealistic but generally just very nice kind of qualities. And I personally am so glad to see that we are getting so many of these films and TV shows at the moment, because we just need a bit more lightness in our lives at the moment. It's funny because the last time I was on your show, we were talking about dystopia and how there are a lot of TV shows out there that kind of go into, like, the depths of despair. So it's so nice that we have this to counter those kind of programs.
Well, we have the Urban Dictionary, definition. Here goes. I'll just give you a bit. Nice Core is a form of entertainment showcasing from the protagonist interacting with other characters in a story with altruistic actions and an optimistic view on others and the world around them. While they may already have or end up doing so for others throughout the story, the protagonist inspires them to do the same. Just be nice. That's really what it's about, being nice no matter what. So let's take a look for some recent examples, because that's really what we want to take a look at. Nice Core films and TV. Deirdre, off you go.
So I started up off my picks with Ted Lasso. This is a great show. It's on Apple TV Plus at the moment. Its second season actually broke all of these records for the streaming service. It's won a whole bunch of awards across, you know, the Emmys, Golden Globes, Critics' Choice Awards, SAG Awards, PGA Awards, you named it, as well as making, you know, several kind of viewership figure records for Apple TV, which shows that this is a show that has won over both critics and audiences. So what is it about this show that is so likable? So it's based around this character portrayed by Jason Sudeikis, funnily enough, originally in NBC sports programs, but they wrote this whole show around this character, who is Ted Lasso, who's actually an American college football coach who is hired to coach an English soccer team. And it's funny because when you're watching the show, he's initially kind of, you know, hired almost to kind of make fun of this football team because there's kind of a divorce going on in the management, and the woman, she kind of wants to humiliate her husband, but she ends up being kind of, you know, won over by Ted Lasso's just enthusiasm and his, like, want for everyone to work together and for everyone to get along. And it's very, very sweet. So he wins over not only his colleagues, but also the players and even the general public, who are like, what is this guy, this American, come round? He doesn't know what about, you know, our precious soccer
here,
game.
I'll give you a little bit here. Biscuits, Ted Lasso.
Well, I'm glad I caught you. I brought you a little something.
Oh.
Yeah, cookies. Or, as y'all call them here, biscuits, right? Though I do not recommend you smother these in gravy.
Oh, Ted, I don't really...
Oh, come on, I'll take a looky there.
Oh, those do look good.
Right? Go ahead, take a nibble. That's it. Away you go.
Fuck me. When did you get these?
I'm glad you like them. You know what? I'll start bringing these to you every morning. Called Biscuits with the Boss.
That really isn't necessary.
Okay, well, mark this down as the first time we disagree then.
Biscuits with the Boss. Yeah, I saw the first couple of programs, and you should never judge anything until at least five of all these big series. It seemed pretty good to me, all right, but then again, I don't know, so I don't know. What about Coda?
Coda, so this is this was actually the recent Best Picture Oscar winner. And it's funny because me and my sister were kind of having a debate about this, because she was like, oh, it's such a, like, kind of simplistic, you know, predictable story. But I almost think that that is part of its charm, that you kind of know that it's all going to work out all right in the end. So for anyone who isn't familiar with it, Coda follows this deaf family. The youngest daughter is the only one who's able to hear in the family. So she's kind of spent her life translating for her family into sign language. But she begins to strike out on her own. She wants to join a choir. She wants to look at going to a university far away. So the family kind of has no choice but to, you know, look for this sense of independence and to start to integrate in their community, whereby they've kind of been, you know, keeping very much on the sidelines before this. This is just a really gorgeous, heartwarming narrative. It's set records in terms of like its accomplishments with its three leads all being deaf. I believe Troy Kotsur was the first Oscar winner who is deaf. So it's kind of extraordinary in that way. But I think that it also confirmed that, you know, in a year that had the likes of like The Power of the Dog starring Benedict Cumberbatch was this really kind of bleak Western movie and really kind of quite depressing about life. It was great to see a movie like Coda actually, you know, win over it, because it does show that there are movies that people just want to watch at the moment that just make you smile and laugh and not necessarily have
to. Here's the singing for dad bit from Coda. Coda.
And when I lose my will, you'll be there to push me up the hill. There's no, no looking back for us. We got love, sure enough, that's enough. You're all that I need to get by.
Okay, nice chorus, what we're looking at here with Deirdre Malumbi, and that's, of course, Coda, the Oscar-winning movie from this year. And there's one from this weekend in the cinemas, which I haven't seen. I presume it fits in, does it, Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, this is actually a gorgeous one. So if you're looking for kind of a nice core big screen movie to watch, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I'd highly recommend. I just saw this this week and I really, really enjoyed it. Just dropped in Irish cinemas and it's kind of breaking like box office records across the globe. This stars Michelle Yeoh, who people might remember was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon back in, I think it was kind of the late 90s, early 2000s. But it's this absolutely mad plot. She plays this hardworking Chinese-American woman who's being audited by the Internal Revenue Service, and she learns that she has to connect with parallel universe versions of herself in order to prevent this powerful being from destroying the multiverse. So it sounds like an absolutely nuts concept, and that's exactly what it is. But it's so creative. The performances are gorgeous, and it's interesting because it looks at these kind of deep themes like existentialism and nihilism, which can often be, you know, have a very kind of negative outlook. But this insists upon itself, like just insists on being so like compassionate and so positive. It's a happy, playful, energetic movie in terms of, you know, the themes that it's doing, that it's looking at. But it also just emphasizes the values of love and family overall. And it's got some great action sequences and moments of humor thrown in into it as well. So I think that this movie just has everything. And I'd really
That's cinemas this weekend, Everything Everywhere All at Once. What's Abbott Elementary, just to stay up to date with all that's going on?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Now, unfortunately, it's not available to stream in Ireland yet, but I found it quite interesting because the Guardian article that you mentioned there previously, Dave, this is the one that it was talking about primarily, because this one has ended up being a huge hit over in the States. So over there, it's streaming on ABC. It's just been commissioned for a second season, and I believe we should be getting it on Disney Plus eventually. So essentially, story-wise, it follows this. It's set in an underfunded Philadelphia public school. And it follows just a number of dedicated, passionate teachers who are kind of working against these great, great odds to help their students to really succeed in life and to really kind of look at life from a more, again, optimistic point of view. So it's just doing really well in the States at the moment. I watched the trailer for it. There's something about it that looks just kind of very, I suppose that's the thing with a lot of these kind of movies and TV series. At their heart, they're very kind of simple storylines, but because they're so positive and feel good, they really win audiences over.
Okay, well, that keeps us up to date in terms of just what's happening like with the nice core stuff. I'll finish off that bit with a little bit from this, because I don't know anything about it either. Abbott Elementary teaching tips.
Follow my lead. Here we go.
What's happening?
Oh, come on now, son. Moving those hips a little, it is not going to kill you. Now, let's do this math problem again. Oh, what's Turkey Farmer's name?
Hank?
Yes. All right. Hank has two turkeys. He gets two more. How many turkeys? Frank has two turkeys. He gets two more. How many turkeys?
He has four.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. Now, as I say, part two is like the kind of more classic example. Surely, you're going to start talk about Paddington 2, are you?
Oh, yeah, that's the first example I'm going to give. I mean, who doesn't love Paddington 2?
People fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so feel good. And it's funny, even though it's a bit corny, it's a bit predictable.
What?
And
you couldn't say it's very bit predictable. I never thought he was going to meet Granny again. Oops.
There's never a dull moment in this film. It's won over critics, audiences, every generation of family. This is just such a sweet film. It's so joyous. It's so innocent. It's fun-filled. It's colourful. It's uplifting. It's a classic. I absolutely adore Paddington 2. If we all just live by Paddington's morals of just being good, I think that the world would be just
And you haven't mentioned Hugh Grant yet. Isn't he fantastic in it?
Oh, he's brilliant, absolutely in it. He's fantastic in it. And I think that that performance in it, you'd wonder how after like a children's film. But that performance, I think, has really kind of hailed this career resurgence for him. And it's just because he plays the baddie in a children's film. But it is that good a performance.
I'll give you a tiny bit of it. And of course, Brendan Gleeson as well, brilliant as the cook, the chef, the whatever, in jail. What I was going to say, Paddington 2, the prison friends bit.
You think the thief you saw is part of a criminal gang?
Using the pop-up book as a treasure map.
Well, it's a theory. Have you found out who they are?
Not yet, dearie.
Maybe I should take a look.
I'm sorry, this is a private conversation. Oh, it's all right, Mr. Brown. This is my friend, Knuckles.
How are you?
And this is Fibs.
G'day.
Spoon.
Hello.
Jimmy the Snitch.
All right.
T-Bone.
Watch out.
The Professor.
Pope.
Squeaky Pete. Double Bass Bob.
Hello.
Farmer Jack.
Hello.
Mad Dog. Johnny Cashpoint.
Catching.
Sir Geoffrey Wilcott.
I hope I can rely on your vote.
And Charlie Rumble.
Oh, it's so wonderful to meet you all. I must say it's a great relief to know that Paddington's already made such sweet friends.
Such sweet friends indeed. Behind bars, that's Paddington 2, prison friends bit. Now, let me see. The Good Place. What's The Good Place, Deirdre?
Yeah, so this is actually a series that is streaming on Netflix now. I think it has four seasons altogether and it has concluded. So it's one of those shows that you...
That's a real nice way of saying, cheapers, Dave, where have you been? Never heard of her, sorry.
Oh, but it is lovely. So it follows a number of characters in the afterlife of all places. Eleanor, Cheehy, Tahani, Jason and the rest of the gang as they struggle to lead these good lives. So it has like, you know, it looks at such topics as ethics and what it means to be human. It's very funny, very heartwarming. And it's kind of one of those funny ones, a bit like Everywhere All at Once. Like it could have so easily become like really kind of negative and like, what is the point of life at the end of the day? But it absolutely insists on being optimistic and saying that there is something greater out there. And I did bawl my eyes out at the finale. So do have your tissues ready if you haven't seen the show yet, because you will cry with that last episode.
Who's in The Bad Place that would shock me?
Ah, well, Mozart, Picasso, Elvis, basically every artist ever. Every U.S. president except Lincoln.
That sounds about right. What about Florence Nightingale?
That was close, but no, she didn't make it.
Wow, all those amazing people. Down there, it just seems so hard to believe.
Again, it's an incredibly selective system. Most people don't make it here. But you, a lawyer who got innocent people off death row, you're special, Eleanor.
Nice score is what we're looking at, and that is The Good Place. Now, tell me about The Big Sick. I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, this is a big, this was kind of a big indie hit of the year 2017. I'm not sure it was available to stream on Amazon Prime. I'm not sure if it's still there. But anyway, you follow Kumail Nanjiani, who plays the lead. He's this Uber driver. He's trying to break into stand-up comedy and you actually see...
I've heard about this movie. Yeah, now I know what it is. Yeah, go on, keep going.
Lovely movie. So in it, he kind of falls for this grad student, but then she falls under this really strange illness that keeps her in hospital, and he ends up meeting her parents, who are played absolutely phenomenally by Ray Romano.
And Holly Hunter, isn't that it? Yeah.
They absolutely steal the film away. And it's actually based on the true story of how Kumail ended up meeting his real life wife, Emily. So I suppose that's a bit of maybe a spoiler for the ending. But again, you just have this really kind of very sweet, very feel good and very funny story. I'd highly recommend this film if you haven't already.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Kumail.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we saw you before.
Now that the niceties are out of the way, I have to tell you that when you yelled at me, it really threw me off, and you really shouldn't heckle comedians. It's so rude.
I didn't heckle you. I just woohooed you. Just supportive.
Okay, that's a common misconception.
Uh-huh.
But yelling anything at a comedian is considered heckling. Heckling doesn't have to be negative.
So if I yelled out, like, "You're amazing in bed," that'd be a heckle?
Yeah, it would be an accurate heckle.
Okay, just tell us about it. I mean, Wes Anderson, not necessarily, but there might be one, would there?
Yeah, I think that Moonrise Kingdom is probably just the one example of Wes Anderson's movie, because usually there is kind of this edgier, darker like sense of humor that's running through a lot of his work. But Moonrise Kingdom is just, again, this kind of pure, like, nice score in that he's emphasizing the pureness, the sweetness of the film. And I think it really helps the fact that you have these child protagonists at the heart of it. It's just a really hopeful and upbeat movie. It follows this orphan boy and little girl in New England in 1965. Mm. Basically decide that the adults in their life aren't helping them, so they're going to run away together. And even the adults of the story, you have the likes of Ed Norton in there, Bruce Willis, just to name a couple of the great performances in it. They are kind of trying to do their best and be like better kind of human beings. So it's just a thoroughly really lovely film.
I can't offer you a legally binding union. It won't hold up in the state, the county, or frankly any courtroom in the world due to your age, lack of a license, and failure to get parental consent. But the ritual does carry a very important moral weight within yourselves. You can't enter into this lightly. Look into my eyes. Do you love each other?
Yes, we do.
But think about what I'm saying. Are you sure you're ready for this?
Yes, we are.
Okay, they're not listening to me. Let me rephrase it.
Oh, we're in a hurry.
Are you chewing? Spit out the gum, sister. In fact, everybody. I don't like the snappy attitude. This is the most important decision you've made in your lives. Now go over by that trampoline and talk it through before you give me another quick answer.
Okay, Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom. Give us a couple more TV ones to end up this. Parks and Recreation, which I've never seen either. Yeah, it's probably in season number 49, is it?
Something like that. This is another show that has concluded, and it's a go-to kind of rewatchable TV sitcom for a lot of its fans. I think, again, because it's just so feel good. It's just an uplifting kind of series. You've got the likes of Amy Poehler, Chris Pratt, and Rashida Jones in there. They play employees of the Parks Department in City Hall in a town called Pawnee in Indiana. It's just a very life-affirming, feel-good show, and it's given us a lot of kind of cultural go-to references, like Galentine's Day. This is the series that invented that, and the whole idea of treat yourself. So this is just a great, very funny show again.
And would you say the same for Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
This is another really funny one. I think that it recently aired its final season, though I have yet to check that out. But this one, again, you get a lot of kind of these work sitcoms that are quite nice core. In this case, it follows the employees of the NYPD's 99th precinct. But it's just given us so many iconic TV characters and some very, very funny one-liners. Again, it's just great feel-good stuff.
Number one, could you please sing the opening to I Want It That Way?
Really? Okay. You are my fire.
Number two, keep it going.
The one desire.
Number three,
believe when I say.
Number four,
I want it that way.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Number five.
I never want to hear you say,
woo! I want it that way.
Oh, chills. Literal chills.
It was number five. Number five killed my brother.
Oh my God, I forgot about that part.
All right, okay. That's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What's New Girl, by the way, Deirdre?
Oh, New Girl. So this stars Zooey Deschanel. I think that it's streaming on Disney Plus right now, but it was the show that made Adorkable popular as a phrase for a time. Zooey Deschanel, people will remember her from her roles in Elf and Almost Famous. But I think that at this stage, New Girl is probably what she's most famous for. In this show, she plays a teacher who moves into a flat in Los Angeles with three guys and just makes a lot of, you know, friends and finds love along the way. It's great stuff.
Okay, but let's finally, by the way, does Queer Eye get into your list?
Queer Eye makes it into my list as well. Yep. It's just a show that is full of laugh out loud and sob your heart out moments. People will, of course, know the Fab Five now of Anthony Tan, Karamo, Bobby and Jonathan, who transformed the lives of various heroes by redefining their wardrobes, their grooming, and it's and diet and all of these other kind of pursuits. But it's just such a feel-good show because, again, it's just about emphasising the niceness, and they find these people kind of struggling in their lives, but at their core, they're such good people and that they deserve good things. So again, it really does bring this whole concept full circle.
Well, then already living at a station near you or even on a big screen near you, Nice Car is here and it's here to stay. Charles Bramesco, he's the man who put it all, well, he didn't put it all together, but he certainly highlighted it in The Guardian. And Deirdre Malumbi has done the same for us. Thanks a million, Deirdre. Good luck. Take it easy.
Thanks. Dave Fanning on 2FM.